Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this evening. It's nice to have this warmer weather and the days lighter, longer. And one of the things I really like about the warmer weather is having that outside door open in the front of the building. And just like this morning when I was teaching and saw that lady with her children come in. And we need to be praying for visitors, welcome them when they come, see how we can follow up with them, and hopefully they will have a desire to want to come and work with us. Some people like to walk every day, and you ask different people where do they like to walk. Some like to walk on a walking path, some like to walk in a park, some like to walk in the woods. Some go to the Y to go walking. Some like to go walking by the seashore, on the beach. And have you ever asked somebody, where do you like to walk? And they answered, I like to walk with God. We probably aren't going to hear that answer, but that's what I want us to consider this evening, walking with God. And we're going to take our verse, our text from Genesis chapter 5, verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When we think about this, the Hebrew people had a beautiful expression to describe those that were consistent in their everyday religion. It was walking with God. The relationship was felt in every day of their lives and not just on some special occasion. Some people, they think they might walk with God on the first day of the week, or some special day during the year. Friends, we need to have the mind, we need to have the heart where we walk with God every day. And the account of Enoch encourages us to imitate this character trait in his life. And this seems to distinguish Enoch from his contemporaries before him and those after him. It is said that he walked with God. And so it would benefit us greatly if we can learn some lessons from him. Well, in verse 24, when it says that Enoch walked with God, that means that he had this habitual fellowship with him. Enoch realized God's existence, and he recognized his presence. Again, as we are considering Enoch, we need to consider ourselves. Do we think every day about God's existence and his presence? Or do we think that God is far off and far away from us? When we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, we're familiar with verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But what does the Hebrew writer say in verse 5? Says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Enoch is used as the example of one that pleased God. He pleased God because of the faith that he had, and he walked with God. And that must be the same with us today. And it's possible today. Our fellowship with God does not need to be interrupted. We need to have this daily walk with God. We need to recognize the light that he has, the assurance that he gives us, the strength that he gives us, the confidence that he gives us. And we can walk with God just as Enoch walked with God. Well, when we consider this phrase, walking with God. It's used frequently throughout the Bible. You go back to Genesis chapter 6, and who do we find in Genesis chapter 6? Noah. Chapter 6, verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Noah had this fellowship with God, this relationship with God. Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And we know that Abraham was a man of righteousness. He was blameless and walked with God. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. We are all encouraged to walk in the light of the Lord. 2 Kings 20 and verse 3. Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So when we think about walking with God, we've got to walk in truth. If we aren't following God's word, we aren't walking in truth. We have to have a loyal heart. Our heart cannot be divided. We cannot love God some and the world some. We have to have a loyal heart, and we have to do what is right in the sight of God. Micah 6:8, a familiar verse from the Old Testament. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. See, this is nothing new. It's commanded from the beginning of time. It is what God has desired from the beginning of time, that we walk with Him. Colossians 1:10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God. So as Paul is writing to the brethren there, he encourages them to walk worthy of the Lord. When you read the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, again, he tells them several different places there how they are to walk. We go to 1 John in verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So again, here we see this walking with God is part of fellowship. And we cannot walk with God and the world. We cannot walk in light and darkness at the same time. We must walk with God. And when I walk with God, and when you walk with God, then we can have fellowship one with another. But if one of us is walking in the light and one is walking in the darkness, we do not have fellowship with each other. So it's interesting to note that Enoch was singled out by the Holy Spirit, we've seen so far two times, as walking with God. In Genesis chapter 5 and in Hebrews chapter 11, he's singled out as walking with God so that we would have this example recorded for us for all time. Well, what is implied when we walk with God? It implies harmony. We have to walk in step. And to be in harmony with God, we first must be reconciled with God before we can walk with Him. We cannot walk with God if we are not a child of God. We cannot walk with God if we are in some denomination. We cannot walk with God if we are not following His word. We must be in harmony. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they are agreed? We must walk in harmony. I don't like to use examples for movies, but this just popped into my head. I'm talking about walking together and walking in harmony. We were watching a movie the other night, and this old lady was talking about how special marriage is. And she was talking to this younger woman, and she said, "God created a man just for me, just for me. And we were married, and our hearts beat together as one heart." And that was so wonderful that God created this person just for me. And now my husband is gone, and my heart is out of rhythm. It was just the one beat. And you think about that, we understand that with a husband and wife. Do we understand that with our relationship with God? God created us that our heart beats with His heart. We take a step where He takes a step. We stop where He stops. We go where He goes. We do not go where He does not go. Harmony. When we walk with God, our hearts must be in harmony with God. Romans chapter 8, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." You look around, you see all of these denominations, and they digress and transgress further each day. Women in the pulpit taking roles of leadership, and then not even just women, but professed lesbians, homosexuals, the carnally minded people doing things in name of religion to draw more people in, and that is not in harmony with God. And we might say that's the extreme, but when we step away from God's word, that's the extreme. These other things are just, we know, on down the road. Walking with God implies keeping His commandments. And that should be obvious, but sometimes the obvious is not obvious. Which commandments do we keep? The ones I want to keep, the ones I like to keep, the ones that are easy to keep. We've got to keep them all. And obedience is the evidence of having a living faith. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked." If we say we love God, if we call ourselves children of God, I don't want to say we must keep His commandments. We must want to keep His commandments so that we are pleasing to God. Back to Noah in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22. "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him to do." When you look about the examples of men and women of faith throughout the Old Testament, did they just do what they wanted to do or liked to do? No, they kept God's commandments completely. That enabled them to be part of walking with God. And you consider Enoch again. He was not famous for his worldly wealth or his accomplishments or his power, but for his personal purity. He walked with God. He walked with God. Matthew 5:8, the Sermon on the Mount, "Only the pure in heart can see God." If we want to see God, we've got to understand what we must do. Well, walking with God implies progress. Now, if I wanted to walk over and touch that screen, and I just stood here, am I walking? I'm not walking. I have to take some steps and move in a direction to walk over and touch that screen. Walking involves some action. It's not standing still. And you look at some Christians, and it's as if they are standing still, or as if they are frozen in time, because they're standing still. They aren't growing. They aren't trying to grow. They aren't moving forward. You ask somebody to participate in something. Well, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. That's okay the first time you ask them. You ask them again and again, and a couple years later, well, I'm not ready for that. Well, when are you going to be ready? Are you moving forward? Are we moving forward, or are we standing still? We are to mature. We are to grow. That is what is implied in walking with God. It involves progress. Well, Enoch walked with God. We've seen people walking with God throughout the Bible. We've looked at what is implied when we walk with God. And then in verse 24, it says, Enoch was not. In Hebrews chapter 11, and in verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. When we turn to the book of Jude and look at verse 14, we see Enoch mentioned again. Now, Enoch was the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on us all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most whole faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Enoch was not. He was taken. There are people today, when we look about this falling away, these apostates, these apostasies predicted. And again, so many of those people are just accepted everywhere in the world, but they are not walking with God. And it's sad even today that a lot of people do not appreciate the good people until they're gone. When people are taken away, we don't think about them till they're taken away. In Matthew 13 and verse 54, when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath the man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. So they didn't appreciate Jesus. But when Jesus was gone, you look at what happened with that change. And with Enoch, God took him. And the writer of Hebrews seems to imply that God took him because he was well pleased with him. If God took everybody today that he was well pleased with, would we be disappearing, or would we still be here? We want to make sure that we are well pleased with God. And what does it imply that God took him? It implies victory. Others had to die, but Enoch was spared that. Death is inevitable to all of us unless we are alive when Christ returns. Christ conquered death and took away its sting. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But we can only overcome death if we are faithful to him. Again, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And when we are walking with God, when our heart is beating with his heart, whatever we do for the Lord is not work. Sometimes we might get weary doing it, but you stop and think about it, it's not work. It's what should come natural to us. Again, just like Jesus, he wanted to oftentimes get away from the crowds and the multitudes because he was living in the flesh. He needed rest, but he had compassion. He didn't turn people away. Enoch was taught how to overcome the things of this world by walking with God. He began his walk here on this earth, and by faith he was translated into heaven. So then that brings up our final point. How do we begin our walk with God? I would suggest one of the ways that we start is to say something to God every day. We want to walk with God. We've got to talk with God. How many of us go day by day without looking into God's book? By doing this, we are refusing to allow God to say something to us. So we start by letting God say something to us. God has so many things that he wants to say to us. Are we anxious to hear what they are? Or do we just read a couple verses in the Bible and or say, well, yeah, I read that years ago. I don't need to read it again. Again, the Bible is a love letter written to us from God. It's got a lot of things to say. And then you think about if you got a love letter from a dear person, and I know people, not too many people write letters anymore, but if you got one, what would you do? Would you throw it on the table and I'll look at that when I get around to it? No, you'd want to open it and read it and read it over and over. And when we listen to God, then we don't have to walk in darkness. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we should take great delight in listening to God talk to us. Psalm 1, 1 and 2, blessed is he is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How much do we delight in the law of the Lord? How often do we do it? And this day and night, meditating in it day and night, this is a Hebrewism. It's a repetitive action over and over and over. And when we love people, we delight in their work. In Acts 17:11, they searched the scriptures to see if the things were so. And when we search a thing, we shouldn't just give it a mere glance. Jesus wants us to search the scriptures. That means we examine them. We look diligently. We study. We apply ourselves. And we're commanded to study. 2 Timothy 2:15. Is there anybody here that thinks that we can walk with God and not spend time letting God talk to us each day? How can we do that? How can we think we can walk with God, but we don't look to what he says for direction? Well, another suggestion to begin our walk with God, we let God say something to us every day, and we say something to God every day. That's prayer. How many times do we let a day pass by that we do not pray like we ought to? And I would dare say we are all guilty. We get caught up in things. We get busy. But friends, if we want to walk with God, we've got to let him talk to us. We've got to talk to him every day. Someone has said, prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. Sin has stopped prayers in so many lives. And friends, when we stop talking with God, we've cut off our only hope. If we aren't looking to see what he has to say to us, and if we aren't talking to him, we've cut ourselves away from God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. If we turn our ears away from hearing the law of God, even our prayers are an abomination. Proverbs 28:9. But real prayer avails much. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The third thing, as we begin our walk with God, we should say something for God every day. So we should allow God to say something to us, we should say something to God, and we should say something for God every day. Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. When we talk about saying something for God, we don't have to preach a sermon to somebody. We can be having a conversation and just comment, didn't God create such a beautiful day today? I was at a doctor's office recently, and the doctor pointed to a chart on the wall, and she said, can you imagine, didn't God do a wonderful job creating our body? And she started talking about God. We need to talk about God more often. Sometimes I think some people think it's an either or. We have to tell everybody everything or nothing. Well, we need to prepare the soil, drop the seed, and just mention things throughout the day to people. So is God speaking to the poor people today, to the lost souls? Is God speaking directly to them? No, he's not. How are they going to know about God? That's our job. And if we want to walk with God, we've got to say something for God every day to other people. We can tell them about how God loves us. You know, there's are many precious souls headed for destruction. How are they going to be turned around? That's our job. Many precious souls outside of the church. Precious souls in the church also. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We can learn to talk about everything. We can learn to talk about business, about sports, about politics. Why is it when it comes to talking about the most important thing, we get shy? We get tongue-tied. If we want to walk with God, we need to take these things and work them into our everyday life. We also need to do something for God every day. You know, our days are filled with things that we do. And I tell Carol every day, I've got 3 times more things on my list to do than I have time to do. But the question becomes, what am I doing for God? We are all busy. We all have things to do for God. Are we doing the things for God every day that we need to do? One of the things we need to do for God every day is to let our light shine. We let it shine so that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So we don't go out and we don't blind people. We just let our light shine with our good works. And I want to do maybe next week or sometime soon, what are our good works? But there's the power of the influence of a person will lead others to Christ. Someone taught all of us, I would dare say. I don't think any of us just woke up one morning, we opened up the Bible and said, I want to be baptized. Someone taught us. They took the time. They cared about us. So much of what we do in this world is vain, but nothing that we do for God will be vain. How do we walk with God? It's important that we learn how to do that, that we have that relationship with God. And when people ask you, so where do you like to walk? Hopefully, we'll say, I like to walk with God. We sing a song sometimes, and this is one of Brother Code's favorites, and it talks about walking. And it says, walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the glory, all the story of your love. Talk to me like you spoke so tenderly when you talked there, when you walked there by the sea. Talk with me, lest mine ears no longer hear all the wonder, all the beauty of your grace. Walk with me as you walked so lovingly when you walked there, when you walked there by the sea. Those two verses incorporate the things that I just said about letting God speak to us and we speak to God and us doing something for God. And then the refrain on it, let me follow in the footsteps that trod the shore of Galilee. Let me learn to pray like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Take my hand. Teach me, Lord, to understand all my duty, all the beauty of your love. That's walking with God. May we all strive harder to walk closer to God. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.